Might the mighty dollar do the Federal Reserve's work so the Fed doesn't have to? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A pulse has returned to the stock market, at least in early trading this morning, after yesterday's swoon in the form of the 332-point drop for the Dow. When we came in this morning, both the Dow and the S&P 500 indexes were down for the year so far. But even though the dollar was up another 1.1% to reach a new 12-year low today, there is some recovery for share prices in early trading. Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles. Good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
So if the high dollar caused by higher interest rates in the U.S. was the catalyst, does that mean it's over for the stock market?
I don't think so, David. I think the strong dollar, we think, is with us for some time to come. The dollar tends to appreciate in long cycles, so we're probably halfway through. This is not bad for the U.S. consumer, in my opinion. Just think about it. Your dollar is worth more, therefore it buys more, and about 13% of what the American consumer purchases comes from overseas, anything from furniture to food to your favorite imported vehicle, David. So net-net, I think this actually turns up being a great environment for the U.S. consumer.
Well, it's interesting as thinking about the dollar as some sort of feedback mechanism for the economy. The anticipation of higher interest rates drives up the U.S. dollar as capital is attracted from abroad. But it, in a sense, is the same kind of drag that higher interest rates might produce. So maybe the Fed doesn't have to raise rates quite as quickly.
It's a dynamic situation. Exactly right, David. It's no longer just about raising overnight rates in 25 basis point increments and then going home. It's a question of how does that increase or the anticipation of that increase affect overall financial markets. We don't know exactly how high interest rates will go or how quickly they will raise rates because it's going to depend on how things shake out in this dynamic situation out over the next couple of years.
Jeffrey Cleveland at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles, thank you so much.
My pleasure, David.
General Motors announced this week it'll give shareholders $5 billion in dividends, plus the added boost that should come when it buys back $5 billion of the company's stock. GM did this to avoid a major clash with activist investors on and off the board, but not everyone's happy about the automaker's plans. Gigi Duban reports.
Demand for new cars is up. Gas prices are down. Times are good for automakers like GM. But when the company opens negotiations with the United Auto Workers Union this summer, it's going to try to keep a lid on wages, says Kristen Jicek. She's with the Center for Automotive Research.
If they had the kind of money that they had to pay out for this stock play, they've got money to fund what the union is looking for.
Some workers haven't had a raise in more than 8 years, and Jicek says the ones who did still aren't earning enough. Ross Eisenbray is vice president of the Economic Policy Institute. He says GM can increase share prices at the risk of everything else or take the long view,
which involves making investment in new plant and equipment, making investments in the workforce.
He says GM has to balance all of those things against a desire to reward shareholders. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Congress had a big idea in the last farm bill, the massive package of funding enacted just over a year ago. The push was to get farmers off direct payments. Instead, they would tie subsidies to crop prices, all to save taxpayers money. Well, it turns out crop prices are tied to Mother Nature, which can be fickle. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Washington lobbyists and think tank types are tearing apart the farm bill, trying to figure out how far off Congress was in budgeting for the new subsidies. Vince Smith is an economist at the American Enterprise Institute and Montana State University.
For major crops like corn, we would expect payments to be double what they expected, $6.5 billion.
Farmers used to get the same direct payment every year. Now they're offered a choice of two subsidies. One kicks in when their revenues per acre drop. The other is tied to crop prices. If the price of, say, corn falls below a target, the government makes up the difference. But critics like Scott Faber of the Environmental Working Group say the targets were set too high. Prices are falling more than Congress expected and don't have to fall much for the subsidies to kick in.
They look like a safety net, even though they're more like a trampoline, you know, when you really stop and think about it.
Plenty of people in Washington have been thinking about it, but the Capitol can be something of a bubble. I wanted to break through the bubble and hear from someone who's actually living with the new subsidies.
Just a mid-sized tractor that will...
I'm on Rob Ewalt's farm in eastern Iowa. We go into his repair shop.
We grow corn and soybeans. We grow alfalfa and grass alfalfa hay, and also kids.
Ewalt is a father of two. He thinks taxpayers will actually save money under the new subsidy system. Before, he got a government payment even if he was selling his corn at record prices.
I think this will be a little bit more fair for the taxpayer because the money's going to come when we are in pretty tough shape, when we need it.
Ewalt says most farmers are independent, don't like taking the subsidies, but need them to get through the tough times. In Davenport, Iowa, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And an interesting divorce case in Britain just reached a new milestone. Dale Vince was poor when he divorced, but later amassed a fortune after he figured out how to make wind turbines out of recyclables. Divorced for 22 years now, his ex-wife, Kathleen Wyatt, is suing for a portion of the fortune that came later, and a court has just allowed her case to stay alive. People across Britain with long-ago ex-spouses are watching the case with nervous interest. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.